Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Fred, and we thank you for listening to AFR. Steve Jordahl in studio with us this morning. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
Folks, we always appreciate you listening to our American Family Radio. We got a share-a-thon coming up next week, right, Fred?
That is right. We're excited next couple of weeks. Yeah, middle of April.
Yeah,
and we are excited about that. We have been getting testimonies from some of our listeners. That's been closed down right now because we had lots of testimonies. So, yes, coming up 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the middle of the month.
And what are the dates, Brent?
11, 12, 13, I believe it is, Brent.
Yes, it's April 11th, 12th, and 13th.
Yeah. So we're always excited about that. We have a good time here and great to meet some of our very wonderful listeners as they call in and make their pledges. So we're looking forward to it.
Okay, so Palm Sunday is this Sunday, April 2nd. Easter is April 9th.
April 10, is it?
9.
Okay, Sunday the 9th?
Mm-hmm.
All right, good.
And so Easter is April 9th, and it's the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday after Easter.
Yes.
So 11, 12, and 13.
Yep.
We'll be here for our share-a-thon.
Absolutely.
So we look forward to that time. It's always a lot of fun, as you say, and very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And all right.
You're telling me it's too late for me to call in and give my testimony of what AFR has done for me?
Because we had an overwhelming number of calls, and we have to edit all those and get them ready for for our show. So I think, hey, listen, we always are willing to take more praise and encouragement, right? Who gets enough of that, Fred?
That's right.
Listen, we thank everybody who did call. Mm-hmm. I'm joking around, folks. We don't seek praise. But encouragement.
Absolutely.
Encouragement, absolutely. We only praise God, really.
Well, we praise God for how he's using American Family Radio.
That's what I'm trying to say.
And that's the focus of the testimony. Yes. Says people tell us, some people come across the dial.
Yes.
Some night they're driving along and they come across the dial. Or just something's going on in their family, and we say it just so happened. But we know who's behind the just so happened.
That's right. It is
God directing people. So.
I would also, listen, I would ask people to do one favor for us here. You know somebody who would like to know about American Family Radio.
Mm.
You know that person, that one person, this week or as soon as you can. And I hear this testimony all the time. Somebody told me about your radio. I don't get your radio station because you don't have a tower in my town. But I downloaded the AFR app.
Yes.
Which really makes AFR around the world. We get people listening around the world on American Family Radio's app. And so tell somebody about the AFR app you know would like to listen to the news and information and Bible teaching and Christian encouragement that we offer and here on American Family Radio. You know, there, Steve, are a lot of Christian radio stations in America.
Yep.
And everybody's got their own unique calling. I'm not putting others down when I say this, but I'm just saying that we have a lot of, on American Family Radio, we talk about issues that are affecting the family, the church, and our country. We do talk about, we don't skip politics and government because that's a big part of our nation and where we're going in the future. So, but a lot of Christian churches and a lot of Christian media outlets, they don't want to touch those things.
Yeah, I tell you, God has really blessed this ministry. This has been a tough time, especially following COVID, for a lot of Christian ministries, some that you're very familiar with that are struggling. But God has blessed AFA because of your dad's faithfulness, because of your faithfulness, because of your son's faithfulness. the leadership team here and all of us who strive to do what God has asked us to do. And it is kind of in a unique space where you can get Alistair Begg preaching a great message just following news programs, followed by some more Washington, and then there's
finance and Bible.
Finance.
We had the Exploring the Word in the afternoon.
We're
not all politics all the time like some people think. We have a very diverse we're into diversity. We have a diversity.
And we're into inclusion.
Inclusion, diversity right here.
Yes.
We have a very comprehensive biblical worldview look at life in America. And we want people to be listen to AFR. So tell somebody about the AFR app. Steve, at our morning show prep meeting today, you were talking about a story, and you and Fred both were talking about a story about what's called, and people, we're going to have to become familiar with this term. A lot of people still don't know what it means, but it's, you said AI, right?
AI.
Okay, first of all, tell our listeners who don't know what AI is.
AI stands for artificial intelligence, and is technology where they are programming computers to think or process more like the human brain. So it's not just you put in 2 plus 2 and you get 4. With AI, you might put in 2 plus 2, you'll get 4, and then the computer will go, well, I know that we're in the environment. You asked questions about division a while ago, so I'm also going to tell you about that. It has the whole internet as a palette, and it starts collecting things, and it's a phenomenal technology. But there is some fear out there by some significant people. I have a letter in front of me from Elon Musk, of all people, and
why do you say of all people?
And Steve Wozniak. Well, Elon Musk has been, if there's anybody that's about the future in this country, it's Elon Musk.
This country and the world.
And the world. I mean, he's been forward thinking on everything, you know. First person to really significantly talk about going to Mars. Got so many anvils in the fire? Whatever that saying is.
Don't ask Tim.
Got a lot of stuff going on. But
What did you say, ambles?
What's it? Irons in the fire.
Irons.
Got so many irons in the fire.
Or you could say skillets.
Skillets.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. Marshmallows.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Yeah, s'mores.
So Elon Musk and Steve Wozniak. Steve Wozniak was a co-founder of Apple. He is also kind of a futurist guy. He got out of Apple long, long ago. And they are calling for a six-month moratorium on all development of AI. You know, earlier we talked about this thing called ChatGPT, and I brought in some examples of, and we talked to, for example, Ray about what ChatGPT would do if it wrote a sermon.
Yes.
You know, and it did a good job. But they're worried. What they're saying is AI systems with human competitive intelligence can pose a profound risk to society and humanity. Contemporary AI systems are now becoming human competitive at general tasks. We have to ask ourselves, should we let machines flood our information channels with propaganda and untruth if they so choose? Should we automate away all the jobs, including fulfilling jobs, and give them to computers? Should we develop non-human minds that might eventually outnumber, outsmart, obsolete, and replace us? Should we risk loss of control of our civilization? These are big questions, and these are smart people asking these questions.
And this morning on Fox and Friends, this question was thrown to Douglas Murray, who is one of their experts, and he had some very sobering words about this as well. It's going to be cut number 10, Mr. Brand.
It's an extraordinary letter, I have to say. Pretty much unprecedented. I mean, these are people at the absolute forefront of the technology we're talking about who are expressing deep concern. I mean, to call for a six-month moratorium, basically, on further advancements in the area suggests that they're deeply worried about this. I mean, this has been coming on us for 25 years now, so it shouldn't be that much of a surprise that the treadmill of technology is running faster than we humans can run. We've known this for a long time, but the fact that there has now been this stressing that we're, you know, we could be in trouble,
right.
This is unprecedented.
Yeah, and I think one of the examples, maybe, Steve, you brought this in. You tell the computer to write a sermon on Romans chapter 1.
Right.
And it does so within a couple of minutes.
Yeah, or shorter.
And I think what these very bright people like Elon Musk are talking about, it's very dangerous. Are we going to get to the point where the Pentagon puts in a question to this computer, should we attack China?
Yeah.
And we're going to depend on the computer to tell us the answer. This is very dangerous stuff.
As we automate jobs, not just going into McDonald's and pushing on a touchscreen instead of going up to the counter and asking for a hamburger.
Yeah.
We're automating all kinds of jobs right now that used to be human labor jobs. It's getting beyond just labor jobs. It's getting now to thinking jobs that are being replaced, decision-making yes. jobs that are getting replaced. And if we ever put decision, if we get to the point where we're putting decision-making on foreign policy, and they're saying things like that could happen. Did you ever watch the movie called Eagle Eye? Mm. It's a while back now, but it's basically it's starring the guy that was on Holes, the little kid who grew up in. Anyway, he's an actor. His name will come to me. But it's about a computer who the Army uses to help look and surveil so that they can find crime and they can find, you know, spies and all this kind of stuff. And it gets to the point where it's so smart that it decides that it has to get rid of all threats and that the president and his cabinet are threats.
Uh-huh.
And they go after start trying to kill them and they won't be dissuaded. The computer has made this decision.
Well, you can imagine what would happen if this technology that they're concerned about starts making medical decisions.
Right.
You come in, you describe to the computer symptoms, and the computer decides, okay, this is how you're going to be treated.
What if a computer, and then what we're talking about these days, because people start this computer down a path, and it is biased. So what happens when the computer says, parent, you're not doing a good enough job with your kid who wants to be transgender?
Yes.
So we're going to report you to the authorities, and they're very serious about the danger here, and I won't pretend that I understand all of the danger. But when Elon Musk and Steve Wozniak are worried, I'm worried.
Yeah. Put the brakes on it.
Yeah. We are getting to the point. I know you guys have been talking about the Nashville school shooting, but one thing I don't think we've talked about are the victims and who it was that was killed. And I wanted to list their names and tell you a little bit about what we know about these three kids and three adults. And I just think it's time to focus on them instead of this shooter, whoever he was, she was. So this is the name of the three kids who were killed in the Nashville shooting. 9-year-old Evelyn Diekhaus. She's the third grader at Covenant School. Her family says their hearts are completely broken. They cannot believe this is happening. She was a shining light in their world. 9-year-old William Kinney. He was one of the kids that was shot. The other child that was shot is 9-year-old, the pages turned here, Haley Scruggs. Haley Scruggs was the daughter of the pastor of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Nashville, the church that ran the school where the shooting took place. The pastor's daughter died. He issued a statement on his daughter's death. It's a one-sentence statement, but I think it describes exactly the way a Christian parent, we hope, would think, although you never know. I hope we never find out. But we are heartbroken. Through tears, we trust that she is in the arms of Jesus, who will raise her to life once again. Oh. So those are the three kids, the three adults. 61-year-old Mike Hill was a janitor at the place, at the school. Loved by everybody. He was the kind of guy that everybody, you know, trusted and palled around with. They just loved this guy. He's a very kind person. A substitute teacher by the name of Cynthia Peake, 61 years old. She's an educator, was a professional educator for a long time, retired, and now she's substitute teachers, or she did. And she was at this at the school and was killed. The head of the school, the headmaster of Covenant School, her name is Catherine Kuntz. She's 60 years old, And it is said that she was on a Zoom call when the shooting started. She immediately ended the Zoom call and ran to the gunfire to try to save the kids, protect the kids, and she was killed. These are all in the discussion of who
so
and what.
Six people lost their life.
And it's important we talk about them as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And once again, even more could have lost their lives except for the bravery of these police officers.
Yes.
Who stormed the building and within 14 minutes were able to bring the shooter down.
Yeah, watching that video footage of the police officers entering the building and going, that was impressive.
And you could tell that they had practiced this.
Yes, yes.
The words that they used and just take this, go that room, go to the stairwell, give me three more officers. It's the kind of thing that you see in movies and on TV shows, except it was real life, but they kept their cool and they just did the job that they were trained to do.
The police expert that I talked to called it textbook.
Yeah.
I timed it from this video that they released yesterday. From the time the police breached the building, got in the building, they had the shooter down in 32 seconds. As soon as they heard, well, actually, some police were downstairs trying to clear rooms, but as soon as they heard that the shots were coming from upstairs and they knew where to run to, 32 seconds.
Yep.
Now, compare that with Uvalde. The police were in the building. It took them an hour and 14 minutes from the time they entered the building to the time they took the shooter out.
Did they ever come to a final reason for that?
It was poor leadership. No one took charge. No one acted. There was a little bit of fear, a little lack of training, but it was a leadership. It was a leadership failure of the greatest degree.
Well, I think probably what happened subsequent to that across the country was that these SWAT teams, if that's what you want to call them, are police first responders to terroristic threats. I don't know what exactly the police would SWAT teams be what they were called, Fred?
Yes.
For the most part. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they probably sharpened their skills and did a lot of training. You know what I'm saying?
What?
Because of the criticism that they saw leveled at the law enforcement in Uvalde.
So here's the deal. The first person to respond to a 911 call is going to be the police officer, generic police officer, who is closest to the school. Mm-hmm. And what I believe we saw in these videos is that first officer came and started taking charge. They have the body armor. They have the assault rifles, and he took it out of the trunk. He's ready he's a policeman that's ready to issue a speeding ticket and then turn around and face an active shooter like this. And he was the one that took charge. I need three people. Go, go, go. Blue, gun first. All of these things. I think probably any of those people on the site probably could have managed that. This was the strength of the army in World War II, as opposed to the German army in World War II. The sergeant could make the important decisions about where to attack and how to run the war, whereas the Germans needed Hitler to do it. And this is the difference between Uvalde and please don't misunderstand. I'm comparing anybody to Hitler in this. I'm just saying that the management structure, the Nashville police did a phenomenal job.
Yeah. Hey, this news just came out on Fox News website. We were talking about the Federal Bureau of Investigation earlier, and FBI, and Abe was criticizing them under the direction of Christopher Wray for some actions that they've taken. Well, on the give credit where credit's due department, this was just came out that the DNA found in a half-eaten burrito, I'm being serious here, this is not a joke, helped expose a former Wisconsin University's research assistant now accused of firebombing a pro-life center last Mother's Day. The FBI has been involved in this, so we commend them for this. They found this guy who attacked a pro-life. The attack on the headquarters of the Wisconsin Family Action in Madison came about a week after the leak of the Supreme Court draft opinion that would later overturn Roe versus Wade. Anyway, about 10 months ago, about 10 months after a Molotov, is that what you say?
Molotov cocktail, yeah.
Cocktail was tossed inside the office, and the message that was written on the wall, on the outside wall of the Wisconsin Family Action, they would be like us, except on a state level, probably in Wisconsin and Madison. So this guy they didn't know it was a guy at the time, but they do now. After Molotov cocktail was tossed inside the office, and then he wrote on the outside of the building, "If abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either."
Right.
Right? Was scrawled on the building's side. So now the FBI has arrested this guy. I can't even begin to pronounce his name. It's an Indian name, isn't it, Fred?
Yeah, he's, I think,
29 years old.
PhD.
From Madison, and he was arrested in Boston on Tuesday and charged with one count of attempting to cause damage by means of a fire or an explosive. The Justice Department said he traveled from Madison to Portland, Maine, and he purchased a one-way ticket from Boston to Guatemala City, Guatemala, departing Tuesday morning. Law enforcement arrested him at the Boston Logan International Airport.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos on this one to the FBI for finding this guy and arresting him.
We have been asking for months, actually, since these. This was the first the Wisconsin Family Action was the first one that was firebombed. Jelaine Appling's group, and she's been talking about this. The FBI have been checking in with her and saying they're getting somewhere, but she had never seen any kind of progress. To my knowledge, this is the first time that they have actually found somebody that's involved with any of these pro-life or anti-life firebombings.
There was one other, yeah, in Florida. But, you remember that about 3 weeks ago? Let me just quote, too, this is Assistant Director Robert Wells of the FBI's Counterterrorism Division. He said this, "Today's arrest demonstrates the FBI's commitment to vigorously pursue those responsible for this dangerous attack and others across the country and hold them accountable for their criminal actions," end of quote. So anyway, that's good news to report. Now, you know, the FBI, they have some repair to do to their image, especially among conservative Americans. Right, Fred?
That's for sure.
And Abe talked about this earlier in the program. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, I mean, FBI has always been held in high regard and high esteem by Americans of all political stripes, right?
Correct.
And the FBI is supposed to be neutral.
Mm-hmm.
They're not supposed to be political. And we need to get back to the place. Hopefully, we can get back to the place where the FBI is regarded as a agency of that's above politics.
Yes,
one that's respected mm-hmm. by all Americans. But they have some work to do to repair their reputation and their image, especially with conservative Americans.
Starts at the top, though. President points
right.
FBI directors.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where it starts.
Well, all right. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I got the story I was just talking about the Wisconsin pro-life bombing, and they arrested the guy. The FBI did. I found that on Fox News.
And we have an account on AFN.net.
AFN.net. AFN.net, which is our news service. Be back here tomorrow. We will be back here tomorrow. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Fred.
You bet.
Thanks to Brent Creeley, our producer, Abraham Hamilton III, and Chris Woodward was on with us earlier. I guess that's everybody. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Thanks for listening.